check it out.
Yeah, you do. It's one of the bigger, actually, I think it's, is it the only museum in Lower Mainland? I would think so. What do you think, Rob?
Yeah, there was a major radio museum on the Riverview grounds, I do.
Yeah, that's the one I'm talking about, the Coquitlam Club. Oh, can you imagine that Johnny driving into their driveway of the club and looking at their antenna array? You got to check that out, Johnny.
Oh, I definitely have to check it out. You're making it sound super cool.
Oh, it's more than cool, buddy. It's a lot of hard work and a lot of dedication from the club and a lot of people in the past to make that all happen. It's absolutely gorgeous.
Has anyone seen the Bellingham Radio Museum? Is that still around?
That's a good question. No, I haven't. What do you? How about you, Rox?
I can't say as that I've been to that one. Been in downtown Bellingham many a time. But that particular place, I must have been absent that day.
Have you seen the Vatican one?
No, that's HII saying, I hope I got that call right. No, he's telling us about Bellingham, Washington has a museum. Fill us in there, buddy.
Yeah, VE7 HHI. Apparently, Bellingham has had it. I've read many, many articles about it. Never been there myself, but it's kind of, or it had been, an offshoot of their regular museum downtown, so it's kind of like a separate room, but really quite packed and, a lot of vintage radios, I guess both ham radios and broadcast radios, medium wave, that type of thing.
Oh, that's super cool. Hey, there's an event coming up that may interest you there. Rox, what's the event out your way coming up fairly soon, the Antique Radio Show?
Oh, yeah. The Canadian Antique Radio Society, November the 16th, 12 noon to 2 p.m., at the Charles Rummel Center on 3930 Lozelles in North Burnaby.
I will definitely go there as a former broadcaster and antique radio collector myself. I definitely am interested in that. I'll have to look it up.
Oh, yeah. It's been announced on various nets. On the Burnaby Net, I talked to Brian DTH about it, and so he's been announcing it. And on the Abbotsford Net, which is Monday nights at 7 o'clock, it's been announced there and various other places. Yeah, you can look it up online, too. I think it's CanadianVintageRadio.com.
That is correct.
Oh, that's great. See? The Red Eye Net has a purpose.
Yes, it does. It keeps our eyes open.
Yes. The dissemination of information. Never know what you can learn on here.
In a good way, of course.
Oh, yeah. I always do things in a good way, as opposed to a bad way.
Fantastic. Yeah, it's funny because I do much more listening than I do talking. I've always got the radio on. I always hear, Merlin there with his bodacious audio, but I never get around to talking much.
Well, you got to get on here and start doing some transmitting. Oh, wow, what a nice experience. Were you an engineer in broadcast or DJ, or what were you doing in that line of work?
No. I was in the newsroom, radio newsrooms. zone newscaster, reporter, CKNW, CKWX.
Oh, you must know old Bill Hemingway. Do you remember, does that name ring a bell?
You worked at CKNW? So did I.
Yeah, man, we all listened to CKNW. What happened to CKNW?
I used to work there. My employer. I was in the engineering department, though. Oh, 1979 to 1984.
Ah, so you must have been around with Dave Glostetter.
Holy smokes. He was the department head. Dave Glostetter and John Mayer and those guys. Doug Court.
Yeah, I worked with Dave and John Mayer. Yeah, absolutely. Worked a lot with him over the years. He was always around in the evening when I was working. And, of course, he was a ham, so and an active ham.
Oh, what a small world. John Mayer. We used to work together. He was my co-worker, you might say, and Dave Glostetter was the chief engineer. You know, the department head. I worked below them, and I was in the engineering department, putting things together and so on, and keeping things maintained. I was at the 50,000-watt transmitter site and the 1,000-watt Queensboro site and CFMI 101.1 up on the mountain there. So, yep, I knew my way around the station.
Oh, yeah. Well, I still, believe it or not, I still fill in, on the talk shows, the talk show host every once in a while.
Oh, how about that? When I was there, who was there?
Gary Bannerman.
And, Al Davidson. And, thinking of who else was there. Yep, Binder Dundat.
Yeah, Al and Gary were just before my time. Rafe was there when I was there, and just trying to think of some of the others that were there. Oh, many of them. Of course, Frosty in the mornings I worked with quite a bit.
Oh, yeah, Frosty Forst, the morning guy. Oh, yeah, yeah. I sometimes was right in the same studio with him there adjusting something or doing something, and Rick Honey, Brian Arnold on the FM side. Yeah, the AM and FM were in the same building there at 8th and McBride in New Westminster. Holy smokes, what a small world.
Indeed it is, and I worked at New Westminster for 4 weeks. I got hired at NW, and 4 weeks into it, they moved downtown. So that tells you about my time period.
Oh, yeah, yeah, they did go through some big changes there. Yeah, just right around the same period when I was no longer there. That's because I was no longer there because of all those big changes that were taking place. Moving up to the 21st floor of the Black Tower at Granville in Georgia. Yeah, Dave Glostetter, by the way, he's a ham. He's got his ham license. He's, get this, VE7NW.
Yeah, I seem to remember him telling me that. And, you see, the period that I was there, I had my license, but I was too busy with work and everything and never got on air and didn't really get active again until, about 2016, 2017. So, you know, John Mayer was still alive at that point. I would hear him in there. But, yeah, no, I worked with all of them, and you'll be happy to know the 21st floor. I'm in there next week filling in for the Mike Smith show. But, yeah, the 21st floor is still there. It still looks the same. I don't know if you ever made it over there or got a chance to see it, but it hasn't changed a lot.
Oh, high above downtown. Yeah. And I've talked to Dave on the air a few times, VE7NW. Holy smokes, brings back a lot of memories. Yeah, John Mayer and I used to work side by side there on the bench and, adjusting and tuning and fine-tuning and et cetera, the reel-to-reel tape machines and all the other machinery that was in the plant, and working on the rack. Yeah, we're leaving all the other stations on the frequency here out, so I don't know, Merlin with us? Uh-oh. I hope he didn't scare everybody away.
No, it's just like me. I come in and start to push my way around and everyone else just disappears. I'm just going to listen on the side.
Oh, no, you're not going to listen on the side. I'm just enjoying the conversation. Bring back some old memories of the old radio station on Burrard by Commercial Electronics for me as a young folk looking at the big antenna tower on the up in the sky. That's what the red eye's about. Sometimes silly, sometimes ridiculous, and sometimes technical. So nice to hear you on board. Johnny, are you still in there?
Yeah, just reading the budget here where the taking $4 billion from the Veterans Affairs? Like, what?
Well, they just upped the city budget for the police and fire, dumped a whole bunch of park board funding and a bunch of stuff out of the reserves. That doesn't surprise me.
Yeah, that's just $4.23 billion they're going to cut from Veterans Affairs over the next 4 years. Well, gee, thanks. That's brutal. Holy smokes.
Well, the money's got to
come
somewhere,
up, everybody.
I guess, but there it goes. At least our mayor didn't just slap $5 million down like he did last time without any approval. He's actually got approval this time.
Hey, Merlin, I was surprised. The VPD budget is $500 million per year.
Well, that's, you want to hear a real surprise just for our area, because I'm in the downtown east side. They just opened up in the old Woodward's building, you know, the bank that got all the windows all smashed out. Well, they converted that into a policing office. That's costing the taxpayer $1 million a year to fund. How the hell do you go through $1 million a year to fund a storefront as a police police community office? I don't get it.
Yeah, especially as the rent is probably free.
It probably is in that location. I would think for the owner of that property, which owns it, would probably love it, because London Drugs was threatening to move because of all the crime rate down there. So to them, it's a big bonus having a police community office in the mall.
Well, exactly. And as I promised, I am going to listen here. I'm just going to listen on the side.
All day, all coverage, 24 hours a day. This is CKNW News 980. Oh, no, that was CKWX that used that logo. Oh, sorry.
The frequency of 980 has been abandoned. It's now a blank frequency in this area.
Whoa, geez, we should find out what they did with all that old gear, Rox. Maybe we can get a bargain amplifier, you know, real nice big amplifier, and to convert it to 160.
Yeah, that's right, too. That's about 300 meters, that frequency. And 50,000 watts. Yep, that transmitter site was on the corner of 176th Street and 88th Avenue in the northeast part of Surrey. I know that because I worked there on occasion, or went there to the transmitter site. It is now the site of the Big 600, CKSP, which stands for Sher E Punjab. That's what the SP stands for in the call sign.
Are they using that site, the one on 176 now, for 600?
Yep, precisely. The old CJOR 600, if you remember that station, is now rebranded to CK.